Arthur, we were joking earlier. Well, once they signed Letty and Johnny Boychuk, now suddenly the Islanders are losing. I know there's no direct correlation to it, but what's been the woes for the Islanders during this four-game skid?
I don't think it was the contracts. I think it was not having Nick Letty on the ice for any of these four games that's been the biggest problem. You know, he's if his value to this team wasn't apparent, you know, when they signed with that 7-year deal a few weeks ago, it's pretty apparent now that not just in their own zone, they've actually been pretty good defensively in some of these games, except for the one last night in Chicago. But scoring four goals in four games, they generate a lot of their offense from the way their defense gets the puck out in transition. Nick Letty's the best skater among the defensemen. He's the best passer among the defensemen. So they've really missed him a lot to start generating their offense, and they've definitely stagnated a little bit, you know, up front. John Tavares, no points in four games. So I guess the mantra is get it out of the way now, because if it happens a month from now, then you're swept out of the playoffs.
Yeah, exactly. It's, you know, teams will go through this at some point. The Nashville Predators are doing the same thing in the Western Conference. It does seem, though, it's more magnified late in the year, especially when the Islanders were in a real tight race for home ice advantage.
Yeah, you know, they're still hanging on because the Penguins are going through a lot of the same things right now, not being able to score, not winning a lot of close games. Penguins, I think, have a bit easier schedule over the last, 3 weeks of the regular season, and the Caps are creeping up out of the wild card spot. You know, I think this is the first time for a lot of these Islander players that have been here a long time in this situation where they've had such a good year. When they made the playoffs for the first time for a lot of these guys 2 years ago, it was because they made a mad dash to the finish line there at the end of the shortened season. So this year they've been very good for a long time, maybe a little bit better than people would have thought. They're coming back to earth, and I think there's a lot of young guys who are maybe unsure of how to proceed right now going into the playoffs. They know they're going to be in there, but what sort of shape they'll be in when they get there, at least mentally, is still up for debate. So I think they have to just kind of double down on what was working before, which was scoring a lot and generating a lot of offense, and just hope the puck goes in a little bit more than it has the last week.
You mentioned that they were scoring a lot. Of the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference, so only the Tampa Bay Lightning have scored more goals than the Islanders. And in fact, only Tampa Bay has scored more goals in the entire NHL. The problem is for the Islanders, they've given up the most goals of the playoff teams in the Eastern Conference by quite a bit. When they get into the playoffs, you know, everything hatches, kind of batten down the hatches. If their defense and goaltending, and I don't know if it's defense or if it's goaltending or just team system, is that the big concern about the Islanders? Is their overall team defense heading into the playoffs?
I think so. I think so. You know, I think they know they can score this past week, notwithstanding. They can pretty much score on any team. You know, even last night they put 39 shots on Corey Crawford. So they know how to play with the puck. It's a lot of the play without the puck. They don't give up a ton of shots, but they do give up of those shots. They give up a lot of quality chances, and they're going to need Yaro Halak when he's back healthy from this little short-term injury he's got right now. When he's back, he needs to be at the top of his game, and their defensive play in their own zone, you know, they need to have the puck a lot. They're not a team that's going to ragdoll opponents around and clear the front of the net or do those sorts of things. They need to have the puck to be successful and moving with speed, and it just hasn't been there the last week, and I think that's kind of a recipe for other teams to see how they can shut them down, the way the Hawks did the other night, the way the Rangers did, the way the Senators did. So there are some flaws in this team, and I think, like I said, I think maybe those first 46, 48 games before the All-Star break, they were, you know, the results were a little bit better than maybe what this team's talent was, you know, could give out right now, but they're definitely coming back to earth a little bit since the All-Star break, and it's definitely time. There's still time left to figure out how they can right the ship, not just to be in better shape points-wise going into the playoffs and try to get that home ice in the first round, but also to, you know, how they can succeed once they're there.
Well, Arthur, on a purely selfish note, I'm kind of hoping they fall a little bit and let Pittsburgh and Washington both pass them, so then the Islanders play the Rangers and Pittsburgh plays Washington in the first round, which is what I'd love to see.
Yeah, I think Islander fans are a little, you know, some of them have expressed a little bit of fear that if that's going to be the last playoff series in Nassau Coliseum, that getting eliminated by a hot Ranger team would be pretty much their worst nightmare. But I think you got to have a little more faith than that. They've played very well against the Rangers in all five games, dominated them in three of them, and lost by a goal in the other two. So I think that's a matchup that a lot of the you know, would take away a lot of this this mental fatigue or whatever you call it that's been going on with this team lately. They go into the playoffs and they see the, you know, their rivals across the ice. There's going to be Islander fans in Madison Square Garden and plenty of Ranger fans in Nassau Coliseum. I think, short of the Penguins, who the Islanders and their fans hate pretty much with the passion of a few red-hot Suns, I think the Rangers are the team that they'd like to face the most.
Yeah, I think, you know, it would be fitting, and I know that's a great rivalry, and it's not like it's not going to be a rivalry again. They're only moving to Brooklyn. You know, it's still going to be the exact same, but there is something about having one last series involving those teams in the lovely outdated Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, it would be great, and I think for the last few years when the Islanders have been down and the Rangers have been a little bit more up, it's been you know, a hard time for Islander fans to have a lot of Ranger fans invading their space. But the last couple of years, there's been plenty of orange and blue in Madison Square Garden, and you know, it's kind of evened out a little bit with the noise factor when the visiting team scores in both buildings. So it would certainly be a lot of fun, and you know, hopefully not too violent in the stands, but at least some friendly rivalry and something that would be great, very exciting for hockey in the New York area.
Arthur Staple from Newsday in New York joined us. You talk about Nick Leddy's importance to that back end. Evaluate the difference in the importance and what they bring between Leddy and Boychuk.
I think they're good complements for one another. They've been a pair, you know, pretty much since the season began. You know, each of them has different special teams roles, but 5-on-5, I think it's just the confidence that they breed in their own zone. Leddy is a very, you know, he's not a physical guy, but just his skating allows him to get out of a lot of trouble and get things started the other way. And Boychuk is a very reliable guy positionally. You know, he sacrifices his body to throw hits and block shots. But also he's a guy, when he gets the puck on a stick, it usually gets out of the zone and gets to where it's going. So having those two guys together, you know, really sparks their transition game and makes them a dangerous team. And with Leddy out, it's really, you know, you can definitely see the deficiencies. They've got some other good players, but really having those two on the ice together a lot, 5-on-5, balances out their back end and really, you know, it kind of puts things in the right place, I think. You know, they end up not overplaying guys like Travis Hamonic, who can kind of suffer from too many minutes. A guy like Thomas Hickey, who, you know, has played a lot of hard minutes for a little guy and is maybe starting to wear down a little bit. So, you know, it's just the balance that those two bring, and obviously, you know, Letty's skating is in contrast to Boychuk's more physical play, but they each contribute offense when they need to. 17 goals from the two of them. You know, I think it's been a while since the Islanders had a defense tandem that could provide that much offense.
Yeah, it definitely helps. Good puck movers, good offense. Boychuk, obviously, a big, strong, physical guy. Both have a Stanley Cup, both have playoff experience, and that has to be key, especially, you know, if they're taking on any of those three teams, Pittsburgh, Washington, or the Rangers. They've all got a bevy of players with a lot of playoff experience.
Yeah, these are guys that, you know, I think within the room, Nick is, you know, one of the quieter guys around. Boychuk is the opposite, very boisterous and loud and kind of keeps everybody loose. You know, I think this will be the time of the year where they can remind their teammates who have not been through this before, even just, you know, this, like I said, this position to be in with 10 games to go, where they're pretty safely in a playoff spot but kind of unsure of where they're going to end up and maybe feeling a little bit lack of confidence with the losing streak. This is where the guys like that can step up and say, doesn't matter where we get in, as long as we're playing okay and feeling okay about ourselves when we get in, anything can happen then. So, you know, I think now is the time when guys like Boychuk step up and speak up and kind of share their experiences from being on winning teams.
You mentioned John Tavares and a little bit of a scoring slump for him. He still leads the NHL in points with 72, and this is going to be the lowest scoring race we've ever seen in a full season in a long, long time in the National Hockey League. You know, right now, you know, Tavares maybe 80 points could do it, really, to lead it. He's a point ahead of both Ovechkin, Crosby, and Backstrom. How much do you think that the players, his teammates, and maybe even Tavares are thinking about something like that, getting him the Art Ross?
You know, I think it's, you know, the way that he has talked about it, he understands it would be a nice honor, but he's got bigger things in mind, and I think a lot of his teammates do too. You know, he really turned it on when Kyle Opposo was out for a couple of months after eye surgery, you know, had Anders Lee on his wing, kind of taking Opposo's place, and they really took off together. since Opozo's been back, coincidentally, these four games that they've lost, it's, you know, there's definitely been a little bit of rust, but Jack Capuano has kind of stuck with Tavares and Opozo as a tandem as he did through the first part of the season. And it definitely takes, it's taken some adjustments for both of them, and I think that's part of the reason why they've been slumping so much offensively. So, you know, I think they realize in the long run that is an important combo to have to put pressure on other teams, so they're going to withstand some of the slumping right now and try to work themselves back into shape. You know, Opozo is, you know, he only skated a couple of times before he went in the lineup against the Rangers last week, so he's definitely got some rust to shake off, but when he was going well right before the break, the two of them were pretty much unstoppable. So, you know, I think the scoring trophy would be nice. A Hart Trophy finalist nomination would be nice also, but I think John Tavares has his mindset and his eyes focused on something a bit bigger, which is some playoff success.
Arthur, it should be a great final 10 games. The playoff races in both the East and the West. The Ottawa Senators are still hanging around. They win again. They're four back of Boston, so that spot is still up for grabs. But more importantly, you know, you got the Rangers, Montreal, Tampa. They're all battling for first, and Pittsburgh, the Islanders, and Washington all battling for second place in the Metropolitan and home ice advantage for at least one round. Should be a great final 3 weeks of the season. Appreciate your time.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jason. Anytime.